Yeah, I made all that up. Except for the part of being married to my wife for 30 some years. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, it's an honor to be here today with y'all. And I'm using a handheld because those head mics drive me crazy. So my ears are really weird. So I just, for some reason, they just don't seem to work. And so they said I can preach like an hour and a half. So is that okay? Everybody's like, yeah, bring the heat. Yeah, that's awesome. Hey, Fall Festival, what? Food trucks? You had me at food trucks. I love food trucks. Love it. Well, again, it's a pleasure to be here. My wife and I, we love the local church, love to serve local churches. I get the pleasure of serving at Gateway, and part of my role is literally we travel. We serve. We have 150 churches in the U.S. we relate to, from Alaska to Florida, and the team that I'm on, we serve pastors, serve staff and churches, and help them become healthy and whole. And so really thankful to get to do what I do, and the ministry, the season of life that I'm in. And we do have two grown kids. 29-year-old son lives in Lubbock, Texas, and he's a chef and he's single. So if there's any women in here that you'd like to like to meet, we'd love to introduce you to them. Our daughters actually just got married on my birthday a couple months ago. So she got married to a guy in the Marine Corps stationed in California. So she just transitioned to California. And so we're happy, but not happy, if you know what I mean. I think y'all can feel that. So, but what a great time. Great worship, man. Y'all did a great job, and really appreciate it. So, you know, the title of my message today, as I prayed, as I thought about what to speak on, you know, is, you know, part of the way the Lord's wired me, and part of it's just the nature of the season of ministry and life that I'm in, is I get to, like I said earlier, I get to travel, I get to work with churches and work with church bodies, people within the local church in the U.S. And the way that God's wired me is I pick up themes. I start to see patterns emerging. And I think that we could all agree that COVID, whether you were mid-COVID, post-COVID, I don't know what COVID we're in, but I think you would agree that COVID was a great accelerator. It was a great accelerator of bad, good technology, you know, but a lot of bad. And over the last couple years, I've noticed in culture, and even unfortunately within the local church, a rise of just anger, a rise of offense, a rise of conflict, a rise of just brokenness within the local church, not just in culture. And I think we see this, you know, if we're really transparent and honest with each other, we see this in politics, we see this in the economic business world, we see this in the local church, we see this in families, just the fracturing and the disintegration of relationships, and even unfortunately again in the local church, where we see that brokenness happening across Christendom, across the U.S., if not the world. And so as I have had the opportunity to speak over the last month or so, this message is a theme that I feel like Holy Spirit has wanted me to kind of bring out as an encouragement, as to help us, help you and help me begin to care for our soul in the season we're in, and really, really begin to take a personal inventory and begin to really get real with God and at a level that maybe we've never been before. And as I even teach on this message, I want you to know this is not just for you, it's for me too. The Lord keeps impressing upon me to guard my heart, to care for my soul, to lean in as our culture is spinning out of control. And so before I begin, I just want to pray. Is that okay? Are we allowed to pray here? Is that good? Okay. Why don't you just close your eyes for a minute? Let me just pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, in the way that only you can do, you're such a comforter. There's no shame in your eyes. There's no shame in the way you speak to us. You're a comforter. You bring a peace-filled conviction to move us closer to the Father. And so, God, I pray this morning that you will use this vessel to speak your words, your truth, and that you just move and on everybody's hearts and minds, and whatever somebody needs today, I pray they'll receive from you. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. So the message I have this morning, and I better set my timer just in case. Is that okay if I do that? We'll take a little break here because I do want to honor y'all's time. And so just don't want to keep going. Y'all be like, it's time to stop. The message title is this: it's freedom from unforgiveness, or dealing with the reality of offenses. Dealing with the reality of offenses. In Luke 17:1, Jesus said this. In the NIV, it says like this. It says, things that cause people to sin are bound to come. Things that cause people to sin. In the New King James Version, it says, it's impossible that no offenses should come. In other words, offenses, accusation, brokenness, it's gonna happen. And you know, if you've been in just in church more than 5 minutes, you've been offended at some level, right? If you've been breathing more than 15 minutes, you've been offended at some level. And it's unfortunate, but it's just a reality of the broken world we live in, where things happen that offend us. Things come at us. And it's that word for offense in the Greek is a very interesting word. It's the word scandalon. And the image of that word, the way the writer used that specific word is that Greek word offense. It is the part of the bait, or a part of the trap, I should say, where they put the bait. It's not the trap. It's the very part where they put the bait that makes it attractive. Think about that. It's the strategy of the enemy to use offense as like bait to get us into a place where we become trapped and snared. I remember not too long ago, I lose track of time sometimes. I want to say a few months ago, but it could have been 5 years anyway. But in my head, I remember reading an account of a tribe overseas. And this tribe, one of the things they would do is they would hunt monkeys. Okay. So the way that they would do it is they would find a tree, a hollow in a tree, or a hollow in a rock face, a crevice of a rock, just big enough for the monkey to put their hand in there. And then they would take some fruit, a banana, a mango. This is some really sweet looking fruit, and they would stick it into the hollow of the tree. And the hunters would just stand back and wait. And over time, after a little bit of time, these monkeys would come up and they would stick their hand in the hollow and grab the fruit. But once they grabbed the fruit, they couldn't pull their hand out of the rock or out of the tree. And they wouldn't let go of it. And so what the hunters would do is they would come up with a club and they would just walk up to the monkey and they would kill the monkey. And in that illustration, what the enemy does with the fence, the trap, is we get offended, something happens, and we begin to hold on to that issue. And the thing that we think is bringing us comfort, the thing that we just can't seem to release, is the very thing that the enemy uses to trap us, to destroy our heart, to destroy our relationships, to destroy the love of God, to destroy the peace, the joy. And we just sit there, and if we're not careful, we just hold on to it. And we just get pummeled, and we won't. And what we do is, it's like this: we hold on to it so long that we begin to drink the poison, hoping the other person will get sick. Think about that. And we all do that. We're all susceptible to that at some level if we don't deal with our hearts. As I prayed for this morning and thought about today, and thought about y'all, and just all of us as a body, you know, maybe today you've been through some hard stuff. You have been through some experiences, maybe to, or an experience in your life, in your relationships, your marriage, your family, your extended family, your workplace. And there's been some event, something that's happened in your life. And as I thought about this morning, it's like I saw you, it's almost like you got T-boned. It's like blunt force trauma in your life. That thing that happened, that event that happened, that situation that happened, it totally blindsided you and cut you off. And it just felt like you're still shell-shocked from that experience. And you're holding on to that event. You just can't seem to let go, and it still brings great pain. The other person that I saw this morning as I prayed into this is you, because there's been so many repetitive things going on in the area of people have offended you and hurt you. And it's almost like you're dying from death of a thousand cuts. And you've got these little snares, these little cuts that are constantly, and every time you think of the situation, every time you run into them, it's like somebody else just pouring poison into the open wounds. and you're wishing that God would just somehow bring you some healing and restoration. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this. It says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." The word there, the idea, the Greek words there is metamorphosis. And it's what they're saying there is that we're moving from glory to glory. That as believers, as people of God, that we're, God's purpose for our life is that He continues to move us from one level of glory to another level of glory. And what happens sometimes because of these situations that happen, if we're not careful, we get stuck in the two. We get stuck in that space. We just get stuck. And I feel like the Lord would say to you this morning that there's no shame, but He wants to talk to you about that place you're stuck. And maybe it has to do with the reality of offenses. And sometimes our deepest wounds, our deepest hurts come from those closest to us. They come from people who we've celebrated life together. They come from people who we've joined relationship. They come from family. They come from very, very close friends. They come from people who maybe at a local church or as a small group or somebody that we thought was for us and with us and would pray for us and we pray for them and we invested in them. And it's that person that's so close, even at the house of God, where sometimes those wounds, those offenses become so real and so painful. And it's interesting, the psalmist wrote in Psalms 55, he addresses this. Listen to this scripture. It's in the NIV, and it says this, verse 12 and 13. "If an enemy were insulting me, I could endure it. If a foe were rising against me, I could hide. But it is you, a man like myself, my companion, my close friend, with whom," look at this sentence, "I enjoyed sweet fellowship at the house of God." And unfortunately, it is a reality that sometimes in a place that should be safe, celebratory, community, and life in the local church sometimes is the very place where we get some of the deepest, hardest wounds that we experience. It was 2011. We're from Tampa, Florida. It's where we grew up, where I grew up, and you know, all that. And I pastored there, was exec pastor, as he mentioned, at a large church there and for a number of years. And I had a couple that we had done life with for years that I had known. This is a guy that we'd go fishing with and hunting with, and we did vacations together with families. Our daughters were best friends for a season. And I mean, this is a guy that I went to church with. This is a guy that literally we cried together, laughed together. We were together all the time. I mean, it was really, 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 really good friend. Really good friend. I'm going to say it again. Really, 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 really. It was a deep friendship for years. And I'll never forget. It was a Friday morning. And he called me up one day, said, "Hey man," he said, "I wanted to talk to you about some stuff." He said, can you come by my office? I wanted to connect with you for a few minutes." And that was my day off. And so I said, "Yeah, sure. I'll come hang out with you." So I drove over to his office. And when I walked in, there was a guy that I had known, good friend of mine, another good friend. But he was a counselor. He was a local counselor and did a lot of counseling with men in the region. And I walked into the room. I thought it was kind of odd. He's sitting here. So I thought, well, whatever, maybe just something I want to talk about for ministry or whatever. So I sat down, and for about an hour and a half, my friend began to unload on me five things that he said that I had done against him over a period of 2 years that he'd been holding on to that I didn't even know. Like, we had been hunting together. We'd gone deep sea fishing together. I mean, would never even have guessed that he was holding on to these things. And what's crazy about it is all five of those things were false accusations. None of them were true. And I'll give you just a crazy example of one of them. He said, "Well, we were at that restaurant, and I went to the restroom. When I came back, you and your buddy Russ were laughing at me." And I was going, "Greg, we were laughing at the waiter." But in his mind, I was doing stuff against him, and all five of those were false accusations. And I, in that moment, I tried to defend myself. And the only way I can explain it of how it felt in that moment, because it was such a deep hurt for me, coming from a guy that I thought was my best friend, that knew that if there was ever an issue, he could have talked to me about it. And he'd been holding on to this stuff for years. And it felt like somebody had a broad sword and just shoved it in my chest. And I just, the pain was just so real and so deep. And I couldn't, it's kind of like the blunt force trauma. I couldn't even process what was going on in that moment. I had no box for that. No box. And at the end of that conversation, he just began to cry. And he said, Todd, he said, I'm not a monster. And I looked at him and I said, Greg, I never said you're a monster. And in that moment, I couldn't even process what was going on. So the meeting ended and my wife was at work that day and I just went home. And I remember walking into the place we were living at the time and it was one of those moments where I'm literally shell-shocked. I didn't know what to do. All I know was I couldn't believe what had happened. I couldn't believe the pain that I was feeling. And I didn't know what to do going forward. And I just took a hot shower. I just said, you know, I'm just going to take a shower and just try to relax. And the minute I started taking a shower, I was praying. And the Lord came to me and he said, Todd, right now, in this moment, not tomorrow, but in this moment, you need to respond and you need to release this person. You can't wait. You need to release it. Your decision in this moment will determine your destiny. And I'll tell you the rest of the story here in a little bit. Mark 11:25 says this, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. Let me give you some dangers of unforgiveness. Here's some dangers of unforgiveness. Number one, it creates separation from God. So it's a danger that when you're holding on to stuff, when you don't release, it creates separation. Number two, it hinders our sins from being forgiven. And I'm going to read some scripture on that here in a little bit. Number three, it creates bondage and imprisonment. It's like that monkey. We just hold on to it. And what we think is good for us, what we can't seem to let go of, what we just can't seem to process and release to the Lord, it actually creates an imprisonment and bondage. And number four, one of the most dangerous things is it creates bitterness and resentment. I don't know about you, but I know people that's where they are. They're living in that place and it's almost like they're walking around with a chip on their shoulder, waiting for somebody to knock it off. They walk with an offended heart and every conversation they have is seasoned with a salt of offense or venom. It's critical, judgmental. And the reality is that when you hold on to these things, it actually begins to change your personality. It begins to suck joy out of your life. It begins to, and you become prickly like a porcupine, waiting for somebody to rub up against you so your quills can shoot out. And I've experienced that with people where they just won't release. They won't let go. Let me give you some principles that if you deal with the reality of offenses, how to walk in unforgiveness. Principle number one. Your salvation is conditional, but your intimacy with God is, your salvation is unconditional, but your intimacy with God is very much conditional. Your salvation is unconditional. It's because of the grace of God. It's because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ and the resurrection that when you come to him by grace through faith, it's a gift and no one can boast, right? It's Ephesians passage. In Ephesians 4, verse 30 through 32 says this, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Doesn't that sound like our society today? Isn't it unfortunate that our culture, that is the epitome of what we see on Facebook, on Twitter, on the news, in every environment, unfortunately, full of bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander and malice. But he goes on to say this, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. Just as in Christ, God forgave you. Let me give you a second principle of dealing with unforgiveness. The primary way we grieve the Spirit of God is by holding on to bitterness. It's one of the primary ways that we grieve God's Spirit, because it's totally opposite from a good father, of our Father, of what Jesus did, is He's a forgiving, merciful, grace God. And what sometimes, if we're not careful, I've done this, we've all done this, if we're not careful in this arena, we forget that the very God that extended mercy and forgiveness and grace to us that we didn't deserve, right? We refuse to extend that to other people. And that's not what King's kids do. Our identity as sons and daughters of the Most High God is we should model and be an example, an ambassador of a Father that's forgiving, of a Father that's full of grace, even when people don't deserve it. Because that's us, right? So the primary way we grieve the Spirit of God is by holding on to bitterness. Matthew 6, 14 through 15. Listen to this. This is the ESV version. It says, strong passage. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. Ouch. Your heavenly Father will forgive you. Sorry. My eyes are crazy this morning. What's going on with me? But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. If you forgive those who sin against you, He'll release. But if you refuse not to forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your sins. Let me tell you some things that forgiveness is not. Sometimes I get questions about this from church members, from people, from pastors, and they want to know what forgiveness is, but sometimes we forget what forgiveness is not. Here's what it's not. It's not saying that what they did was right. What do you mean by that, Todd? Well, here's what I mean. If somebody has hurt you, if somebody's come against you, if somebody's abused you, if somebody's has hurt you, just leave it at that. What they did was not right. That doesn't mean you can't forgive. But it's sometimes if we're not careful, we almost live, it's almost like forgiveness is not denial. It's not living in denial. That's a river in Egypt, right? It's a joke. You can laugh about that. Yeah. Sorry. I didn't say the jokes would be good, so. But it's not. It's not excusing what they've done. Forgiveness is not excusing what's, if somebody hurt you or your family, then it was wrong. It was hurtful. So it's not excusing. It's not denying. It's not justifying what they've done. Sometimes if we're not careful, we begin to justify it because we don't want to deal with the reality that what they've done was actually wrong to us, because we're trying to be grace. We're trying to be, and it's not justifying what they've done. If they've hurt you, if they've abused you, if they've hurt your family, your kids, your grandkids, your friends, it was wrong. And don't justify it. It's not necessarily reconciliation. What do you mean by that? Well, so, I mean, I grew up, as I said earlier, in Tampa, Florida. And, let's just say that, I was not a pastor growing up. Let's just say I didn't really come to Christ till later on in life, right? And what's funny about that is, so I ended up back in Tampa years later, and I said earlier, became executive pastor of a church there, and in the town I grew up in. And I remember when I first landed there, my first year back, I'm in the lobby, and some of the guys that I ran with in high school came to church. And they walked in, they saw me, they said, "You're a pastor here?" I said, "Yeah, I'm executive pastor." And they're like, "How'd that happen?" I'm like, "I don't know." So, but my poor dad, my dad died at 52, very young age. And I used to think it was really old, and I'm 53 now. And I'm like, man, he was pretty young, you know, but he died. But, you know, growing up, I was not the nicest kid. Let's just leave it like that. Got a lot of trouble. And you know, when we think of the area of forgiveness, well, if I did not reconcile with the issues and offenses in my life with my dad before he died, I can't reconcile with him now because he's gone on to be with the Lord, right? So forgiveness is not necessarily reconciliation. I hope that makes sense. It's not denying what they did. Forgiveness is not being a doormat. It's not about being a doormat. And last, forgiveness, and this is the big one, it's not pretending. It's pretending that you're not hurt. If somebody hurts you, then they hurt you. And you need to deal with that reality. Let me tell you what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is being aware of what they did and still forgiving them. It's being merciful. It's being kind. It's being full of grace. Forgiveness is a privilege. Forgiveness is God's gift. It is a gift to His children. It's a gift. It is something that will go, that will heal our hearts, our minds. It's, I wrote this down. I got this from this author. It says, forgiveness is a gift to set you free from Satan's strategy to keep you from loving. It frees you. It releases you. It releases you from the power and the pain of sins committed against you. When you walk with a heart of forgiveness, when you live from a place where you're willing to release and deal and give those things to the Lord and begin to release those people to the Lord, then it actually becomes an antibiotic to the hardness, callousness, the pain that we've experienced in our life. Principle number three. Forgiveness brings new freedom to us. You know, the thing about forgiveness, it doesn't make them right. It just makes you free. Think about that. It doesn't mean what they did was right, but it makes you free when you walk as a man or a woman, when you walk as a son or daughter of the King, when you walk from a place of forgiveness. Proverbs 4:23, you've probably read this scripture many times. It says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything, every thought, every intention, every action, it's going to flow from your heart. And if we don't live from a place of forgiveness and grace, then it will affect, as I said earlier, it will affect our relationship with the Father, and it will affect our relationship with other people. And forgiveness will restore your mind. When you guard your heart, when you live from that place, it will begin to restore the places in your mind and your heart that the Lord wants to come and heal you of and bring freshness to and bring fresh joy to and promotion and movement in your life. The last principle is this. Forgiveness is a process. It is a willful choice. It's acknowledging the pain and hurt. It's a process. So go back to my story that I shared earlier. So as I'm processing this with the Lord, and the Lord was very clear with me in that moment. And He said, right now, today, you got to release. And what He said to me was, He said, Todd, I want you to pray. Every time you think of this person, every time you think of this situation, every time you see them, because we live in the same town, every time you ran into them, every time, I want you to pray blessing on them until you mean it. I want you to pray increase and blessing and favor on their life until you actually mean it. Not here, but here. And the image He gave me was that of a stairwell that it's like walking up. Have you ever seen those stairwells that go? And it's like I'm walking up a stairwell. And it took me 4 years to pray blessing on this person to the point where when I thought of them, I actually wanted them to be blessed. I actually meant it. And I remember the season, the moment when I'm in Texas years later, I'm at Gateway. And I remember the moment where his name came to my heart. Just hadn't thought of it in a while, but it just came to my heart. And I said, Lord, I pray bless. I pray increase. And I thought, holy junk, Batman. I actually mean it now. I actually feel it. And the Lord said, you're free. And then what He did was He taught me a lesson. He taught me that there's power in life and death in the tongue. That there's power in the releasing of, and that when you use your mouth to confess life over somebody who's hurt you, and you acknowledge the pain that they've hurt you. I'm not saying you don't acknowledge the pain. I'm not saying what they did was right. It was wrong. But you acknowledge that to the Lord, and you begin to pray blessing. God releases, I believe, dispatches angels on your behalf, and the Spirit of God will come, and He'll manifest yourself in your life, in your heart, and your mind. He'll begin to move. Luke 6:27-28 says this. It says, but to you who are willing to listen, are you willing to listen today? Are you willing to listen, not to me? Are you willing to listen to what the Lord would be saying? But to you who are willing to listen, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. And if you're willing to listen today, as I've been sharing, my question is, what's the Holy Spirit saying to you? Not what I'm saying. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you? Is there a person? Is there a family? Is there an individual? Is there a situation in your past, maybe present, where as I even been sharing and talking that the Lord's bringing that back up? And it may be a scenario, it may be a situation you've not thought of in years. And the Lord in His gracious timing and divine appointments, He's saying, hey, Todd, remember that situation? I want to bring that back up in your heart for a minute. I want to talk to you about that person. I want to talk to you about what happened. I want to address that situation. Sometimes if we're not willing to listen, we miss an opportunity of freedom. We miss an opportunity to have a communication with the Father to allow us to release something that is going to be the very thing that creates healing, wholeness, increase in our hearts, our minds, in Christ Jesus. Why don't you stand with me today? I think you have prayer teams here. I want to invite our prayer teams down. If you're on the prayer team, just come on down here and I'm not sure if they're going to play any music or anything, but if you can, be great. But if not, I'll just keep rolling. As I said earlier, I try to finish messages like this with, you know, what's the Holy Spirit saying? And I want to take a few minutes. If you want to just bow your head and close your eyes and let's just, we got time. We're early. I'm going to get you out of here at a good time, I think. And I just want to give opportunity for Him to speak, for Him to move. I want to do a mini, what I call activation. I want to just lead you for a minute or two in a process to begin to release some stuff. But you ask the Lord, Lord, just in the quietness of your heart, is there any situation, anything I just need to release? Any person? Any scenario that's happened to me, my family, my friends? Maybe the person you need to release is yourself. Maybe you should have turned left and you turned right. Maybe you should have, could have, would have, and there's such a shame that you're carrying. And the Lord maybe would say to you this morning in your spirit, in your heart, He said, hey, son, daughter, you need to forgive yourself. I've already forgiven you. Maybe this morning, believe it or not, maybe this morning is you need to forgive God. And God ain't sinned against you, but maybe you felt like God has not guided you very well. And what you thought should have happened, whatever, that, you know, you've been holding on to the Lord a little bit about it. And maybe you just say, Lord, I'm sorry. I release. Forgive me for holding on offense against you. Whoever it is, whatever it is, I'm going to lead you in a quick prayer. And then we'll transition. If you need extra prayer, we'll do that. I want you just to, the quietness of your spirit, just picture that name, that person, that situation, whatever it is, and just say, Lord, I release. Forgive me for holding on as long as I have. I release that person to you. I want to be a man or a woman that walks full of grace and mercy towards others and myself. And I forgive them. And even though I may not feel it this morning, Lord, I pray blessing on them. And help me to pray it every time I think of them until I mean it. And I thank you for your grace and your forgiveness to me. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.